Good morning, May 31st, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's edition tracks access from several angles, including new methadone research, post-release buprenorphine findings, and two funding deadlines coming up in early June. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. A few national headlines are worth watching this morning. The New York Post reports that the TSA has quietly started letting passengers bring weed on planes, with what it describes as a big catch. The Washington Times also reports that U.S. sanctions have hit an alleged Sinaloa cartel fentanyl network. And on a separate federal policy signal, The Hill says Senator Dick Durbin is pressing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to resist easing flavored vape regulations. In the social conversation, one lived experience post on LinkedIn asks who peer certification is quietly leaving out. Chad Sabora argues that most people who use substances do not fit the story systems we're built around, and says they are not all abstinent and not all diagnosed. That is a practical reminder that credentialing rules can shape who gets recognized as a peer and who gets left outside formal services. There were also a couple of innovation-oriented posts. JCoin CTC shared research from the JCoin 1.0 New York University Research Hub, saying that people who received extended-release buprenorphine after jail release had higher treatment retention and lower opioid use than those receiving daily buprenorphine. Separately, Solid Evidence posted results from Testing Money, saying the most detected substances were fentanyl, norfentanyl, synthetic opioids, cocaine, benzoyl econine, and naloxone. Shifting from innovation to public pushback, one opposition post on X targets the San Francisco AIDS Foundation and criticizes its distribution of safer use supplies, framing that work as defiance of Mayor Lurie's ban mandate. This is best understood as an example of opposition messaging around harm reduction, rather than a neutral service update. In research, one new qualitative study in Substance Use and Addiction Journal looks at expanding methadone access through community pharmacies. The study focuses on opioid treatment program staff perceptions of pharmacy-based medication units. Another paper in JAMA Network Open is titled Naloxone for Out-of-Hospital Cardiac Arrest Due to Opioid Toxicity. Together, those studies point to two recurring operational questions: how treatment access can be widened, and how overdose response is handled in emergency settings. On funding, there are three current opportunities to keep on your radar. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, or CARA, funding opportunity with a deadline of June 8, 2026, so that one is coming up soon. SAMHSA also has the Provider's Clinical Support System Substance Use Disorder Treatment Opportunity, with a deadline of June 15, 2026. And the National Institutes of Health is offering funding to establish a Center for the Advancement of Substance Use Disorder Pharmacotherapeutics through training and preclinical support, with a deadline of September 30, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, in advocacy, the National Harm Reduction Coalition is urging people to contact Congress to reject budget cuts to HIV care. Shatterproof is also urging Congress to support the School Access to Naloxone Act.
If that school naloxone push matters to your work, this is a straightforward federal action item to keep moving on now. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.